Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
As a mother of a 13-year-old and an almost 11-year-old, I am looking constantly at my children's skin, trying to encourage them to wash their faces because we all remember our high school days and before, and the really devastating effects that acne can have on those growing years, both social and emotional. The effects can truly be something significant that you kind of never get over. Well, now there's new acne guidelines that are endorsed by the American Academy of Pediatrics, and my guest is Dr. Lawrence Eichenfield. He's the Chief of Pediatric and Adolescent Dermatology at Rady Children's Hospital in San Diego. Welcome to the show, Dr. Eichenfield. So let's talk about, first give us a little working definition of acne and what you see in your practice and really kind of the effects of it.
Well, we know that acne is incredibly common, both in teenagers and young adults, and then also increasingly in preteens as well. And people sort of recognize it when they see it most of the time, though occasionally it can be mimicked by other things. And acne, as we know, is usually on the face. It can be present on the chest, shoulders, and back as well. And those are areas where we have glands in the skin called sebaceous glands. And when those glands get active and some plugging occurs, you can get the standard acne lesions, which, as we know, range from superficial sort of whiteheads and blackheads to much more severe inflammation in the skin that can leave scarring.
Well, and we know how really significant this is in a child's life, especially as you like going into high school, the hormones are raging and you've got pimples, or you go to talk to a girl, or you're at a dance and you feel like your face has been broken out. So first of all, can it be reacted by stress? Can stress exacerbate acne in kids?
There's no question that while stress isn't sort of a fundamental cause, because it's so common anyway, because of a whole mixture of situations, especially the hormonal stimulation of the glands causing it, stress definitely can be a trigger for worsening acne. And it can be, partially it may be the stress itself in terms of impact on the skin directly. And then there's indirect changes. You know, people who are stressed, especially as we hit our teenage years, you know, people may not be sleeping well, they may not be eating well. There's lots of factors that can affect the general organism that can influence the severity of acne as well.
Now, there are new guidelines that are endorsed by the American Academy of Pediatrics. And from what I understand, Dr. Eichenfield, there had been no previous, you know, standards that were, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Acne and Rosacea Society. Everybody sort of had their different ideas.
Yeah, there were ideas, but there you know, it was amazing that the Academy of Pediatrics is a huge group, and they're really, they know that there's a lot of acne issues in teens and preteens, but no one had really gotten together the information or done sort of a expert review on the data that can help to inform people about best practices. And that was known. It was also known that a lot of primary care practitioners and pediatricians didn't necessarily treat acne the same way as dermatologists, and it's hard to keep up with all the information that's out there and all the information about newer treatments as well. So we'd like, you know, the best treatments to be used when we need the best treatments. And it's known also that we're seeing more acne at younger ages. There's data is clear that puberty is coming earlier, and acne can precede other signs of puberty, and that both in boys and girls, we're seeing younger ages of pubertal development, and that reflects the hormonal stimulation as these same hormones that can make acne an issue as well. So there are several reasons why we're interested in getting some good evidence-based guidelines really to help the delivery of acne throughout the ages. And so we went forward with setting up expert management guidelines for pediatric acne that's really over the life of the individual, because there's these acneiform type eruptions and acne that we even see in neonates and infants.
So, okay, so now there's, well, and there's this standardization. Let's start with prevention. As every parent wants to ask you, Dr. Eichenfield, how do we get our kids to prevent it in the first place?
Yeah, and to a certain degree, we want reasonable expectations. So,
Give us reasonable expectations. I know that there are times it's just going
to
happen.
Probably 70 to 80% of children are going to have acne at some point in their lives. And that's even if you try to do preventative measures, which are basically good skin care and washing. So it's not a disease of dirt. It's a disease of hormonal stimulation. So children can be washing their face appropriately twice a day and still develop acne, not because they're not washing their face. And that's sort of the standard intervention, you know, pre-acne developing, is you just want a good cleansing regimen. However, with that, you can still develop acne, and then, you know, we have our steps of therapy to try to minimize its impact.
So let's talk about those, because this is a short segment, and we have a lot to get in here, because people want to know, first of all, should kids pop them or not? And then there's so many things on the market, including birth control, to control acne. Speak about the treatments as succinctly as you can for us, Dr. Eichenfield.
Okay. So first of all, generally no popping is a good rule, because and it's just that, remember, there can be a lot of inflammation in the skin. And the problem is that when you're popping out, you may also be popping in. In other words, the same stuff that's in the sebaceous glands can pop into the skin, and that can create scarring. The takeaway in terms of treatment is that we have a great armamentarium for treatment of acne. And essentially, acne at any age or any severity can be well taken care of. Translation of stuff that's in the guidelines to what I tell my patients in practice, that both the individuals themselves, or preteens and teens, as well as the parents, should know that state-of-the-art acne therapy is available, and that there's no real reason for individuals to walk around with significant acne that can be distressing to the child, teenager, or the adult, and that we have essentially the treatments that allow us to wipe out or control essentially any acne. But of course, we try to use the least strong medicine possible to control any particular individual's acne.
If we want to, and I'm not saying avoid, we always want to go see our dermatologist, our pediatric dermatologist, our pediatrician. But what about the over-the-counter things? You know, there's Clearasil and there's all these kind of creams. Can we try those first defense?
Absolutely appropriate. Over-the-counter products for acne are a very reasonable first-line approach. Benzoyl peroxide has more evidence associated with it than does salicylic acid. In fact, benzoyl peroxide in our algorithm of treatment is considered to be a perfectly reasonable first-line treatment recommendation for mild acne. And benzoyl peroxide comes generally non-prescription as either washes or leave-on products, and they're perfectly reasonable as first-line treatment. Salicylic acid is an alternative, not much evidence for that. And then there's a variety of over-the-counter products that are marketed in all different ways, including the internet, that aren't bad first-line therapies, and if they manage early disease, is perfectly reasonable.
In the last 30 seconds, and we only have 30 seconds left, Dr. Eichenfield, your best advice for acne, controlling it, and helping your teen through it.
Yeah, so the big thing is recognize that if you have significant acne in terms of either physical effects that may be causing scarring or impacting the child from a psychological standpoint, get in to see your pediatrician and or dermatology specialist or pediatric dermatologist. We have the ability to totally minimize the impact of that disease with good, safe medicines. And I'm hopeful that these guidelines will improve our care of acne and minimize its impact across children and teenagers.
And for more information, you can go to healthychildren.org, the website of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and listen to this podcast right here on Radio MD. Share it with your friends. If you've got teens, this is something you want to kind of nip right in the bud, because it can be devastating. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Let's all stay well.